Greetings and welcome to the Beacon broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
Well, we have come now in our verse-by-verse study through Paul's epistle to the Romans to verse 23 of Romans chapter 3. And that well-known text which says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that is the summary of what Paul has been saying now since about the middle of chapter 1. As he has been demonstrating through one means and then another that all men are guilty before God, all men are sinners before God, all men, Jew and Gentile alike, are in need of God's salvation. All men need a righteousness which comes from God. For we do not have a righteousness of our own which will commend us to God and which will bring us into the presence of God. Why? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so, as we have seen, the righteousness that is needed is the righteousness of God Himself, because there is no human righteousness that is capable of meeting the need. And so, divine righteousness must be supplied, and that has been supplied by the Lord Jesus Christ, who robed Himself in human flesh and kept the law that no other man from Adam onward has kept, and then died on the cross and paid the penalty for the sins of all who trust in Him. And so there's a double imputation. We call this the active and the passive righteousness of Christ. His active righteousness was His obedience to keep the requirements, the commandments of God. He kept them perfectly, like none of us have, for all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All that is except Jesus Christ. He's the one exception. And so actively He kept the law. He performed the tasks. He fulfilled the perfect righteousness, the perfect obedience that was required of us, but which none of us have fulfilled. And then passively He laid down His life. He allowed Himself to be crucified. And in that crucifixion, He paid the penalty for the breaking of the law. So on the one hand, He kept the requirements of the law, and on the other hand, He took the penalty for failing to keep the requirements of the law. And the believing sinner has both of those things imputed to his account. The perfect righteousness of Christ is imputed to the believing sinner, so that it can be said that we are now righteous. We have a righteousness which is sufficient to bring us into the presence of God. And then He laid down His life and paid the penalty for the sins of all who trust in Him. And so we have a penalty that has been paid. So, no wonder it can be said, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. The law cannot condemn us, for the law has now been satisfied in the person of our substitute. The law cannot claim a penalty upon us, because the penalty has been paid in the person of our substitute. And so, that's the wonderful gospel. And here's the reason why we need it. Here's the reason why I need a Savior. Here's the reason why you need a Savior. It is because, Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, come short of our created purpose, namely to bring glory to God. And this is my condition, this is your condition, this is the universal condition. We read in verse 22, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That is to say, there's no difference between Jew and Gentile, between religious and non-religious, between educated and uneducated, between black and white, between cultured and uncultured, between male and female, between American and any other nationality. There is no difference. All of humanity stands before God on an equal plane, an equal level when it comes to this. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have sinned. It is a universal condition. It is a universal rebellion. All have sinned. That's past tense, by the way. We have already sinned. It's too late to live the perfect life and thereby earn the righteousness promised to those who keep the law of God, because we have already sinned. You, I, everybody who's hearing this broadcast today has already sinned and come short of the glory of God. We sin many times every day. You understand that, don't you? For there are so many ways to sin. We can sin by our actions, our deeds. We can sin by our words. We can sin by our thoughts, by our very attitudes. And when any of our actions or words or thoughts are contrary to the revealed righteousness required by God, then we have sinned. You can imagine, if a person only sinned one time a day, and I don't know anybody who only sins one time a day, frankly, when you take into account our sinful thoughts, when you take into account our sinful words, Do you go through a day without ever saying anything that's wrong? Maybe you do. But I'm just asking, do you go through a day without saying anything that's wrong, anything that you shouldn't have said, anything that has a little bit of a biting edge to it that shouldn't have been there, anything that is not completely true, not only is factually true, but no intent to mislead or deceive in any way? Do you go through a whole day without saying anything that you should not have said, without in any way dishonoring God, without in any way maligning any other person or raising a question about them that should not be raised? Do you go through a day without sinning in any way with your tongue, not to mention sinning in any way with your eyes, your hands, your feet, your body in some way? And that, as I say, doesn't even take into account our thoughts. So if you only sinned one time a day, which I think is preposterous, I think if we really understand what sin is, we will recognize that we sin multiple times every day. But let's say you only sinned one time a day, and that's your average. That's 365 sins a year. In 10 years, you've committed between 3,000 and 4,000 sins in 10 years. If you are older than 10, and most of you are, if you are 30 years old, you have at least 10,000 sins on your record. If you are 50 years old, you have closer to 20,000 sins on your record if you only sinned one time a day. And if you sin 10 times a day, just multiply that by 10. If you sin 50 times a day, multiply that by 50. If you sin 100 times a day, multiply that by 100. And do you begin to understand the reality of this text? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And this is what Paul is telling us. This is why we need a righteousness which is not our own. A righteousness that comes from God. And that's why he told us in verse 21, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all, and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And God himself, by his grace, has designed a salvation which meets the need, the sinner's terrible plight. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But God has designed a salvation which is able to repair the damage of our sinfulness, restore the function for which we were originally created, namely to bring glory to God. And only in the Lord Jesus Christ is that righteousness possible. Only by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, in his person, in his work, is it possible for us to have a righteousness which will remedy the sinfulness of which we are already guilty. And so, dear friends, you need to understand that in the ultimate reality of the case, what salvation is designed to do is to restore fallen sons of Adam to the place where we can bring glory to God again. Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But in the righteousness which is found in Christ, which is imputed to the believing sinner, and then the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit, which changes the sinner's heart, and the indwelling Spirit of God, who lives in all believers. Did you know that there are two persons living inside you? There's number one, yourself, and there's number two, the Spirit of God, if you are a Christian. If you're not a Christian, that's not true. But if you're a Christian, indwelling your being is your own soul, and then the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God is there to help you to be righteous, to help you to glorify God, to help you to honor and please Him. And that is given to believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. So, dear friend, if you are a believer in Christ, you have a righteousness which is not your own. You have a righteousness which will meet the need, which will bring you into the presence of a thrice holy God. And you have an indwelling Holy Spirit who enables you and teaches you to live a life that is righteous and pleasing to God, which, though it will never be perfect until we get to heaven, will enable us to, in some measure, bring the honor and glory to God from our lives that He deserves, but of which we were incapable until the Holy Spirit regenerated our dead souls and came to indwell our fallen natures. And so all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What's the remedy? The salvation designed by God. What's the remedy? The regeneration that is effected only by the Holy Spirit of God. What's the remedy? The person and work of Christ that He has accomplished upon the cross of Calvary, received by every believing sinner. What's the remedy? The remedy is to acquire that, therefore, a righteousness which is God's own righteousness, but is made available to every believing sinner. That's the remedy. Have you been freed from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood of the Lamb, and I would urge you to go to Jesus Christ without delay and cast yourself upon His mercy, upon His merits, upon His righteousness. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.